This is SB Nation Radio,
the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon.
Good shot.
It's about time.
Hey, it is about time. I mean, I just couldn't get the ball in the hole. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour is powered by Insperity with the golf doctor, Charlie Epps. Here's your host, John Granato.
Welcome in, everybody. As the young lady mentioned, I am in studio. Unfortunately, Charlie can only join us for one segment today on his own show. He'll be in about 15 minutes here on SB Nation Radio. Rich Beam, the 2002 PGA champion, will join us at the bottom of the hour. In studio with me here in the SB Nation studio, Bruce Olson, from the Golf Performance Group at Wildcat Golf Club here in the Houston area. Welcome in. What's going on?
Great day. Thanks for having me in, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of Ryder Cup stuff to talk about, what with the eight guys and then four that he's going to be picking, and you know what lies ahead for Davis Love III and Darren Clark here, and a guy who knows Hazeltine, Rich Beam.
Yes.
Yeah, 2002 champ, PGA champ.
PGA champion at Hazeltine.
Last week, have you ever played Hazeltine?
Many times.
Okay, so last week, Billy Harmon said it's probably the worst major course. It's so blah, there's nothing to it. What do you think?
It's very straightforward. It's not really, it's long. My home state of Minnesota, so I got to disagree with Billy. Now there's not much to it. It's very straightforward. It lays in front of you and it just says play me.
Yeah, it just says play me. That's it.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, because are there any distinguishing holes? Anything you can
16, 17, and 18 to me the really good finishing holes coming in. The par threes. I mean, par threes and par fives in a lot of ways define a golf course, and there's just really nothing special about three of the four par threes and really three of the four par fives.
Yeah, because there are distinguishing holes for every club. Like last week we just saw Bethpage. It was, you know, just awesome to watch. And this week, of course, the Deutsche Bank, which is pretty cool because we're going to get the final round on Labor Day as opposed to Sunday, which we normally get. So this is a pretty cool week. And so we'll have something to do on Monday to watch the final round of the Deutsche Bank. But am I wrong? Do I remember Rich had to lay up on 18 and then hit a wedge in real close and made the putt, and that's how he won?
I believe he did, yes.
I'm pretty sure that's
played
that's
it up to like 80 some odd yards.
Yes.
And hit a wedge in there.
And hit a beautiful wedge. And with that kind of pressure to hit a shot like that, that was an unbelievable, and I remember that. I don't know why that is. That I distinctly remember him doing that and thinking how tough is under those conditions to hit a shot like that.
Yeah, it goes back to pre-shot routine and just the ability to calm the nerves and the ability for the player just to take a deep breath and just mentally prepare and stay confident and play a shot like that, especially
and,
that yardage.
But, yeah,
but I bet if we ask him and we talk to him, most of those guys in a situation like that, when they do lay up, they're not just laying up to an arbitrary spot. It's very cold, very calculated. They have a favorite yardage, and I think it was like 83 or 84 yards. I'm probably wrong. I usually am. But I think I remember him laying it up to 80-some-odd yards, and I bet he's going to tell us that that's one of his favorite yards.
Yeah, and as an instructor, which is what you're doing now up at Wildcat, the golfperformancegroup.com, golfperformancegroup.com, Bruce Olson with us here in studio. As an instructor, that's a pretty good lesson for somebody. You know your yardage on every one of your clubs.
Absolutely.
And what you feel really good about, you know, I got a gap wedge that I like at 100. And so I feel really good when I'm standing over that.
Yes. Yes. Those guys, they dial in those distances
perfectly.
So well.
Right.
And then again, like we were saying, I mean, most people look at a layup shot, they'll lay up on a par five and they're thinking anything that keeps me short of the ravine, anything that keeps me short of the trouble. But the tour pros and the good amateurs, they're like I said, they're very cold, very calculated, and they're thinking ahead.
Absolutely.
And they know exactly where they want to leave it, and usually they can leave it within 4 or 5 yards of that spot.
Right. I mean, Yeah, I mean, like a lot of players, like I've got a 100-yard club and a 125-yard club. So anything in between, I've got to hit that 125-yard club a little bit easier. That makes it that much tougher.
We need to close that gap.
Right. Yeah, no kidding.
We can do that with equipment, Mr. Granato.
Well, yeah, I know. But isn't there a 14-club rule? I'm pretty sure that there is.
Well, that doesn't apply to you,
though. Yeah, well, I got buddies who their 14-club rule is 14 different clubs that they join. but me, no. I've got a budget on my golf. So, yeah, but – it's so much smarter to do something like that. And we'll talk to Rich about that. The Deutsche Bank this week in – have you played over here? Have you played this?
I have never played it. I've video games only.
On video games only, the TPC Boston. And guys are trying to get in. Actually, this is a big week. Like, okay, so Bubba is sitting right outside. J.B. Holmes is sitting right outside. So is Ricky and so is Matt Kuchar. Those are the guys that are sitting right outside that finished 9, 10, 11, 12 in Ryder Cup standings. Those are the biggest, probably the biggest names, I would say.
Absolutely.
But would you think if Davis had his druthers, maybe not a J.B. Holmes, maybe a Daniel Berger, maybe a Jim Furyk, either go really young or go with the veteran Furyk?
It'd be hard to pass on Furyk. I always tell my students that Furyk is just – he's got a personality that's cut out to play golf. He's by far not even close to the longest guy out there. He's not the greatest putter out there, but he's a very good putter. But he's just somebody who stays in the moment, stays in the present, and just stays very calm, very relaxed. Just doesn't get rattled. So he'd be a good one to pick. And then, of course, Cooch coming off the Olympics, it'd be hard to pass.
I think with the Olympics – that you know, he's already done it for the country this year. I he would be awfully difficult to leave off.
Absolutely.
And then Ricky is Ricky, and Bubba's Bubba. Whether or not Bubba is a little, you know, I'm not sure how the rest of the tour thinks of Bubba. I know that he's polarizing with the fan base. Even he still has all that experience.
I think in the Ryder Cup, one of the big things that gets overlooked, and I know the captains don't overlook it, but I think we as outsiders sometimes overlook it, is personality is important because you've got to pick guys that are going to fit into a best ball situation and an alternate shot situation. And, I mean, it's like Davis and Tiger played together for years and years and years, and it was, you know, I mean, rumors were that Davis was virtually the only guy that could play with Tiger and play alternate shot. So personality is really important.
Yeah, it was a disaster when Phil and Tiger did it.
Yes.
Yeah, you'll remember that. Billy Horman said, you know what, you're really, really going to like the guy if he's making birdies and if he's making putts when you're playing alternate shot.
Billy's very wise.
Then you're going to really get along. The chemistry is going to be awesome. As soon as somebody starts knocking down putts, the chemistry becomes awesome. So that's the thing. And yeah, I don't know. Because we see the European team, how we think that, well, they really like each other. We see Sergio. And, I mean, it just seems like, you know, they are very much together where the thought was they take one plane and we take 12 there. You know, 12. We're on 12 different planes while they take one and they hang out together and they seem like they're all buddy-buddy and all that stuff. Fact of the matter is they're winning.
Absolutely.
So that's why they look like they're having that much more fun.
It makes a big difference. When you're making putts and when you're hitting shots, it's like Billy said, it's real easy to get along.
Absolutely. And this morning they're already off, and Brian Stewart, Roberto Castro, James Hahn, all at the top of the leaderboard at 6-under. A guy who's played pretty well for being as young as he is and inexperienced as he is Tony Finau. He's up there. Near the
long
top of
long hitter.
How about the way Jonathan Vegas has turned his career?
JJ around? And I were talking about that yesterday because they actually JJ when he transferred from Pepperdine to Oklahoma almost went to Texas, and he would have been on that team with Vegas. And it's amazing how quick he flipped a switch when he turned pro, because he had kind of a lackluster career at Texas.
Yeah, and he's had kind of he's been just out there, and then. About a month and a half ago, yep. 2 months ago, yep. He had that. What did he turn in that one day? 61.
Yes.
Yeah, and it just seems like he's taken off. Yeah,
again.
Yeah. Just it's been unbelievable. So he's up there near the top. J.B. Holmes, who I think it's awfully important. He's at 4-under, and he's up there near the top of the leaderboard. Daniel Berger as well. at four under, a guy who's fighting to get on that team, probably a long shot. Jim Furyk, who we just talked about, is at four under. So he's playing well. I think that's important. Might be important for Davis Love III to be seeing guys play well right now. You know, and we're in the playoffs, and it's 10 after, and Charlie Epps is going to join us on the other side. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. It's brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, right here on the SB Radio Nation.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
So Billy had to take the week off. We hope he is feeling much better next week. Bruce Olson is with me in studio from the Golf Performance Group at Wildcat Golf Club. And the man who's got his name on the show, Charlie Epps, is with us now, joining us via the magic of the telephone. Charlie, what's up?
Well, first of all, I want to say hello to Bruce. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm overlooking the golf course in Montevideo, Uruguay, or a place called Punta del Este. It's about 52 degrees.
Oh,
it actually kind of looks like Augusta, Georgia, with the pines and sand dunes and golf all over the world.
I thought you were just in Scotland.
I was.
My
goodness. I was in Scotland last week.
What? My goodness. What a world. Now, Uruguay, tell us about golf there.
Yeah. Well, Uruguay, I'm down here with a friend of mine that I've known since 1983. He went to the University of Houston, played on those golf teams back then with Blaine McAllister and Steve Elkington, and he is into golf in Uruguay, so I come down every now and then to help him run some golf schools at his golf school at a course called La Taona. So it's fun to be down here, and I'll be down here for a week teaching juniors all week long and trying to grow the game.
Well, if it looks like Augusta National, that's pretty good, Charlie.
Yeah, I know it, but it's not quite as fancy, but it's got the tall pines and the sand dunes and the elevation changes, and they'll have a Latin American tournament, the Latin American PGA Tour event here in about 3 weeks. They had a very successful one here last year. So it's, golf around the world is alive and well.
Charlie shot a 70 last week, Bruce.
Did you really, Charlie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that? Under my age.
So you said you weren't hitting it at all, and now you go over to Scotland. What course did you shoot 70 at?
A place called Prestwick.
Okay, so
the first site of the British Open, 170 years ago.
Really? So yeah. Charlie, is this a hidden gem? Something we don't know much about? The courses that you played there? Would you say? How would you rate Prestwick?
Well, Prestwick is the oldest site for the Open Championship. 200 years ago, over how many it is, and it's a must to have, to put on your bucket list. We started out the old course at St. Andrews and played the King's Barnes, and we went to Carnoustie, and then we went over to Trump Turnberry.
How was that?
Is really fantastic. They've made some changes. So we played four open venues and had a great time.
What's your favorite club over there, Charlie?
Well, my favorite club, of course, is the old course. I mean, you go into the city of St. Andrews, and the environment is unbelievable, and there's just the whole atmosphere, the townspeople, the university, and then of course the golf clubs, and then we go to the Dunvegan, which is the famous bar right adjacent to the golf course, and it's owned by an Aggie, and you just have a lot of fun. So. They're all great courses, but St. Andrews is place to be. Turnberry now is probably the most complete course over there. It's huge. It's a big golf course, and they made some good changes. It's where Tom Watson won his Open Championship when he played against Nicklaus, and Greg Norman won there. So it's quite a place.
Yeah. So, but give us a. Well, Prestwick, you already mentioned. Give us a hidden gem. If anybody's going, of course, you got to play the old course, and you want to play Carnoustie and Turnberry and all the ones that are famous. What's a hidden gem?
Well, the hidden gem is North Berwick and Gillen. The golf course is on the other side, on the southwest side of, or the southeast side of Scotland, down where the golf course called Renaissance was made by our good friend Paul Cervati from Administaff. And you go down there and play the old the North Berwick golf course. It's really a great golf course. And then there's a new, not a new course, a course in outside of St. Andrews called Crail that really is fun to play. It's Scottish Links golf.
Is that, that's relatively new, isn't it, Charlie? I've heard of that, and I've heard it's really good.
Yeah, the Renaissance Club is a Tom Doak golf course right next to Muirfield that they built a beautiful club, and that everybody should go over there and play and experience.
Charlie Epps on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. And we got our eight, Charlie, that have qualified for the Ryder Cup. Dustin and Jordan, way ahead of everybody with 11,000 points. The next is Phil at 5,300. He's in. Patrick Reed, Jimmy Walker, Brooks Koepka, Brant Snedeker, and Zach Johnson. And so sitting right outside looking in, Bubba, J.B. Holmes, Ricky Fowler, and Matt Kuchar. Would those be your picks, those four? Or would you throw in a Furyk or a Daniel Berger or somebody else? How would you do it if you were Davis?
You know, I'm always in favor. If the guy earns himself his way onto the team, he should be able to play. It's always been tradition of the top 12 golfers play. I think they should have the opportunity. You know, if captain's pick, it can be go good or bad. I would just, you know, those guys you just named are really, really good. Daniel Berger, I think, got kind of, you know, they started the year with no Ryder Cup points, and if he won the tournament over in Southeast Asia, and if they would have given points for that, he would be on the team. So he kind of got screwed out of that position. But I think whoever's on the team, we're going to win no matter what.
You think we win this thing?
Yeah, yeah.
We were talking about Hazeltine, and Billy's not a big fan of it. Bruce has played there. He's from Minnesota, so he's played it plenty of times. We're going to have Rich Beam, who won there, the 2002 PGA, right? So what do you think of Hazeltine?
Hazeltine, they've made some changes, and I think it's a great place for a championship golf course. They've hosted the U.S. Open there, and it's evolved, and it's going to be a great atmosphere. The Minnesota fans, the people from that area, are going to get out and really support it. So I think it's a great venue for this championship.
Payne Stewart won there. Tony Jacklin won there back in the day.
Yeah.
Y.E. Yang beat Tiger with that shot on 18, Charlie?
Right. Yes, that's exactly right.
Tiger must not like it because he birdied four holes coming in, and Rich Beam was able to hold him off, and then Y.E. Yang beats him. So Tiger might not be a big fan.
It's not Tiger's favorite venue.
No, Tiger won't, but he's going to be one of the assistant captains, so I guess he'll be there, which will cause a lot of excitement.
Yeah, it sure will. And that's a good thing, isn't it, having Tiger there?
Yeah, I think it is. People, you know, always want to see Tiger, no matter if he's playing, and hopefully this will give him, you know, the right mental attitude to get back soon, because the game needs Tiger Woods. I'd like to see him come back.
Absolutely. Well, you go have fun in Uruguay, okay?
I will.
Look at you, world traveler,
all
over the world, and now all grown up in Uruguay, giving kids lessons. I love it. Charlie, we will see you back here next week.
Thank you, John.
All right, you're going to be in Australia or somewhere, okay?
You never know.
You never know. Charlie Epps on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Rich Beam is going to join us next right here on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
Welcome back here to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance in Houston. I am John Granato, along with Bruce Olson from the Golf Performance Group at Wildcat Golf Club, being joined right now by the 2002 PGA champion at Hazeltine, now a member of Sky Sports, and I think Fox, too. I thought you were on the coverage, too, for the U.S. Open, right? Rich Beam with us here on SB Nation Radio. What's up, Rich?
Nothing. No, I wasn't working for Fox. I was just walking next to Curtis Strange telling him what to say.
That's all you were doing?
I'm kidding. That's all. No, he and I were walking together, and then once that debacle happened with the rules, Curtis and I were kind of exchanging notes about what the heck was going on. And so, not still with Sky Sports. Fox wouldn't hire me, so all good.
So tell us about Sky Sports. How long are you in Europe every year?
You know, I'm only over there in Europe for a few weeks. I was there for 3 weeks this year. I'll be back over there again next year for 3 weeks. Middle East for 3 weeks at the beginning of the year, which is actually a really cool trip. So I'm just on the road overseas about six, seven weeks total per year with you guys, and then over here in the U.S. for the rest of the time.
That's cool. You like it? You like Sky?
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. It's kind of like the ESPN of Great Britain and Ireland, but then now it's kind of getting blown out to other places around the world. There's a Sky Sports Germany now, and it's a heck of a company to work for. I love it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, Butch Harmon used to do. Are you doing what Butch used to do?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, I work alongside Butch for the majors. Yep, absolutely.
Cool, great stuff. Rich Beam with us here. Rich, we've been talking about the Ryder Cup, going to Hazeltine, and you know Hazeltine as well as anyone with your PGA championship there. Billy's not a big fan, but Bruce grew up in Minnesota. He's with us here, and he's a big fan of Hazeltine. What are your thoughts on the Ryder Cup at Hazeltine?
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I was just up there a couple days ago, earlier this week, and it was in great shape. It's going to be in perfect shape for the Ryder Cup. And I think it's a heck of a golf course. I don't think they're going to extend it all the way back where it can play from. I think they'll move the tee boxes around quite a bit, so you're going to see a different kind of setup for the Ryder Cup than you would for a normal PGA Championship, which is what they've had up the last two majors that they've hosted for both PGAs. But yeah, it's a heck of a test. I think if you hit the driver straight, I think you'd really like it. You know, I think the guys that drive it, I won't say long and straight because there's no golf course in the world that they wouldn't like, but if you drive it straight with a little bit of length on it, it's right up your alley because it's just it's just wide enough in some of the landing zones with that driver that you can actually make the golf course seem a little bit smaller than it is. But I love it. Obviously, I think it's a hell of a test. I think the PGA is going to do an amazing job with it, and the green superintendent Chris Chitterbaum has got it, and just it's going to be spectacular on TV. It's going to blow everybody away. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to get up there.
Rich, John and I have been talking in studio. Of course, you won there in 2002, I believe it was. And just coming off the play in the PGA this year, can you draw any comparisons between Hazeltine and Baltusrol?
You know, not a whole lot. I mean, I think maybe the one thing about Baltusrol that kind of with Hazeltine is that, you know, it's a little bit wider off the tee box than you kind of might think it is in certain spots, but the green complexes are completely different. Hazeltines are much smaller than Baltusrol's, and they're going to have to change. They're going to reroute Hazeltine a little bit for the Ryder Cup just so they can get certain holes on TV for sure. But I wouldn't say there's a whole lot of comparisons between them. Both world class golf courses that have hosted numerous championships over the year, but yeah, I think they're just kind of two golf courses that I think that are not too similar.
Rich Beam with us here, 2002 PGA champion. We were talking about that wedge. How far out were you on the 72nd hole? I don't know why I remember that shot, but it was nut cutting time, and you hit a beauty in there to win. How far out were you?
Sorry, for a wedge to where?
On the 72nd hole for the PGA in 2002 at Hazeltine.
That was actually an 8-iron that I came up a little short on. 8 iron, I came up short on my second, and then I 3-putted from the front edge.
Oh, we're way off.
We're way off.
We're not even close.
We're not even close.
You're not even close. Sorry about that.
I don't know what I was thinking. I thought it was,
I don't know.
He hit wedge in and then made the putt. Maybe that was some other championship. Rich Beam with us here on SB Nation. What would you do if you're Davis? You got your 8 guys now. Would you take the next 4 because it's a pretty good list? Or do you like Furyk? Do you like a young guy like Daniel Berger? If you were Davis Love right now, how would you go about this thing?
I would pick Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas, J.B. Holmes, and either Daniel Berger or Kevin Kisner. There's no reason to go back with, they've had stellar careers. Jim Furyk and Bubba Watson, this, that, but their track record in the Ryder Cup is pretty pathetic. And, you know, that's just kind of how it is. And I think that you need to give the new guys a fighting chance to go out there and prove. You need to pick some guys that are hungry. You know, Billy Horschel would be a great guy to pick as well. I mean, you got to pick somebody that doesn't have a scar tissue from losing, because I don't care who you are, that's still going to eat at you year after year. I mean, Jim Furyk is an amazing player, and what he's been able to do since coming back from wrist surgery has been phenomenal. But in saying that, his Ryder Cup record is just not that good. And, you know, as much as I like Jim, I think that we need to figure out a way to change it up, because we keep picking the same guys year in and year out, and we keep losing year in and year out. And so I think this Ryder Cup, whatever you want to call them, the group of guys that are trying to change it all up. Well, if you're going to change it up, then change it up. Don't just keep picking the same guys year in and year out. So I think that from a team standpoint, we need to shake it up, because currently there's only one rookie on our team, and that's Brooks Koepka. So why not have some other rookies to kind of maybe that don't have the scar tissue that might be able to fire up some of the veterans and things like that. So I'd be looking more rookies than I would veterans for sure, especially Ryder Cup veterans.
Rich, I think you keyed on something there by using the term twice, scar tissue, because we obviously, those guys do have a lot of that. And then you picked a guy that is really, I've really been impressed with the last couple of years, Kevin Kisner. What do you like about his game?
I like his. I like the fire that he's got. I like the fact that he's able to stand up there and he seems to be one of those players that, you know, every player's got some fear, but he seems to be able to control his emotions and control the situation a lot. I think brilliantly, and not quite in form right now, but he's not too far off either. And I think he's just be one of those players that's not going to budge an inch. And I think he's going to absolutely. He'd wreak havoc on the European side, because I think he hits it good enough. Tee to green, he hits it long enough. He's very solid with his irons. And when he gets that putter rolling, he's one of the best in the game. So I like his game a lot. I think he's one of these young players that is tenacious. And that's a guy I'd like to have on my team when going into battle.
Yeah, and you mentioned another guy, Billy Horschel, with the intensity. You know, that guy, he's not going to back down from anything.
No, and it's kind of the same. They almost have the same type of demeanor out there, is that they just have this look about them when they're out there playing, and they don't like to lose. And that's the guys that I want on my team. And nobody likes to lose, but they just have that intensity about them that I think is key. It's almost like it's almost on par with Patrick Reed type intensity, you know?
Mm-hmm. And Cooch is another guy after taking home the bronze. You know you can do it for his country. I would think that he's got to be a lock for Davis Love III.
Once again, you know, you're going back to another guy who, yes, he's a nice guy, he's a teammate, he gets along with everybody in the team room, so on and so forth. But looking back, you know, what's his record?
Right.
You know, hey, what's he done in the past?
We're up against it, Rich. We really appreciate you being here. Thanks for your thoughts, and look forward to seeing you soon down the road.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Rich Beam right here on SB Nation Radio. We got one segment to go. Don't go anywhere.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
Welcome back here, our fourth and final segment. My bad on the Rich Beam. I don't know what I was thinking about his wedge in there. Well, he said eight. I hit an 8-iron, and then I 3-putted. What are you guys talking about?
Oh, you had me convinced, Ian.
Yeah, right. I could have sworn it was some other major coming in and won it with that shot. It wasn't Rich Beam, though.
My bad.
So, anyway, we are here in studio, and we got the playoffs going, and we got the Deutsche Bank, and guys are going low at 6-under right now. The leaders are up there and playing pretty damn well and pretty damn important. I'm telling you, we don't mention J.B. Holmes too much, but I think this is a big week for him. He comes in and finishes top five, and that's something that Davis is going to have to look at.
Huge week for him, and he has the ability to overpower a golf course, and if he gets the putter rolling, he's a good player.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What's been with Ricky this year? I mean, it's been such a disappointing year. Now he seems to be back playing well. Of course, this is where he's defending, so you know he probably feels comfortable here. But he just hasn't. What the heck happened to him this year?
He had such a good year a year ago, as far as just what was he was low aggregate through the four majors. I think that was last year, and it's just I think those guys they get on a golf course where they feel comfortable and they play well, and in a lot of cases when you're, it just seems like he hasn't made any putts.
Yeah. He's just been very lackluster this year. Maybe he's picking it up now. If I'm Davis, I gotta take him on the team.
It's like you and I were talking about earlier, and Rich kind of he made some good points, like he was saying with the picking some younger guys to get away from what he called the scar tissue. Mm-hmm. But I still think you and I nailed it in the first 15 minutes. Chemistry is huge, and it's like we were just talking about at the break. I think it'd be hard to find somebody that wouldn't want to play with Ricky or wouldn't want to play with Cooch, especially with Cooch. You're kind of going with the hot hand, like we said, with him playing well in Brazil, going down there, and just I don't necessarily love his golf swing, but I think he's a very good player, obviously. And just, the chemistry. I mean, how could you not want to play with that guy?
Yeah.
All you got to do is watch his Skechers commercials, and you want to play golf with
him. He's fun. He played for his country this year, so that'd be awfully difficult with a guy who nutted up when nobody else did.
You've got to count that, and we had a ton of debates in the office and with students hanging out, and I was very much against golf in the Olympics, and then because I just felt like it screwed up the schedule, it made it too compressed, and I was adamant that it's not an Olympic sport, but daggummit, watching Stinson and Justin Rose battle on that Sunday, that convinced me, go ahead and leave it there.
Yeah.
Those guys, and then Cooch coming back from where he came from that last round, that was fun to watch. That was really good quality golf.
That was great. If he makes that last putt, he puts a lot of pressure on Henrik on that last putt as well.
So, I mean, you almost have to consider, you know, they consider Sawgrass, TPC, the fifth major, so this year – doesn't the Olympics kind of have to count as the sixth major?
Yeah.
I'm taking that guy.
Yep. You said you're not crazy about his golf swing. Who to you has got the best golf swing on the tour?
I love Justin Rose's move at it. I just love the way he gets through it. All those guys, they make it look so effortless, but just the way that Justin Rose flights it, and he's really good with the off-speed stuff and can hit it high when he needs to hit it high, can hit it low when he needs to hit it low, and he just really controls the spin. He would probably be one of my favorites.
Bruce Olson, the Golf Performance Group of the Wildcat Golf Club here in Houston. You see so many amateurs. The number one thing, if I'm sitting out there, I'm a 18 to 20 handicapper, the number one thing that I might want to think about, you know, the number one problem you're seeing with most amateurs and high handicappers?
I think we're real big about long-term development, and we're real big with practice plans. And you got to get – everybody needs direction. I think everybody, and I don't mean direction right and left. I mean direction, and every time you go out and practice, you need to know what you're doing. And growing up around sports with my dad being a coach, and football coach, basketball coach, golf coach, it's, I always tell people that there's no sports that are learned at full speed. And I'll leave here and drive down to Wildcat, and I'll walk up on the range, and there'll be 30 people hitting balls, and they're all standing out there hitting drivers. And that's – drivers, arguably one of the three most important clubs, driver, wedges, and your putter. But you, when you're changing things and when you're trying to learn and trying to progress, you're not going to change anything with a driver. Let's get to that short game area and work 60 yards and in and really – get a tempo and a speed that we can control and we can learn.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, from the very initial, how many guys don't even set up right? The grip, the aim, everything.
The five fundamentals: grip, stance, posture, ball position, and alignment. And it's, I always tell people, if I can change a grip and change a swing, that's a lot easier than trying to change the swing and then come back later and. Because Mr. Pennick hit the nail on the head. He said the last thing you wanted if you had a good swing was a bad grip. And there's a lot of guys with bad swings and really good grips. Jim Furyk, Graham McDowell, Sergio, none of those guys, that's not what you would teach.
Yeah.
But they can all play.
Yeah. Bruce Olson, go see him. GolfPerformanceGroup.com?
Yes.
GolfPerformanceGroup.com. Wildcat Golf Club, great teaching facility there, indoors. Plus, you got the mats outside. No matter how wet it is, and it's been wet, but it's drying up now. And then you got a beautiful range, two sides. So if it gets beat up on one side, you go down to the other. It's all great, great. Hey, Bruce has helped me with my game. I can tell you that. So if you're looking for great teachers over there, GolfPerformanceGroup.com. Go see the guys at Wildcat Golf Club. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Good having you. Thank you for having me, and have a good day.
You too.
Go Cougs.
We will talk to you again next week right here on